Now, the Irish women's rugby team will have to lick their wounds and regroup to fight for third place in this year's Guinness Six Nations after yesterday's 56-15 defeat to France in Pool B. Cliona Maloney and Emma Hooban scored Ireland's tries as France ran riot in Donnybrook. It means that next weekend, France will play England for the right to be crowned Six Nations champions. Ireland will play Italy for third place after Italy's impressive 41-20 victory over Scotland, while Wales will play Scotland in that fifth, sixth place playoff. Delighted to say former Irish internationals and Grand Slam winners Fiona Coughlan and Niamh Briggs are with me to analyse the action. Both of you guys were involved yesterday in the TV coverage for RTE. So what are the emotions 24 hours later, Fiona, when you've had a chance to kind of reflect?
Yeah, I've reflected on it, looked back on the game. You know, France were absolutely superb and a joy to watch, but Ireland didn't step up at all. I know we saw a great performance against Wales the previous week, but, you know, we didn't see any of that this week. And a lot of that was down to France's defence, but also they shot themselves in the foot at times, giving away 20 penalties and I think it was 14 turnovers when they did have the ball. So you're losing the ball 34 times. They didn't really get any attack going and no continuity in the way they were trying to play. And that just, I suppose, the game just showed the difference between England and France and then the rest below that. And that's where Ireland are at. And pre-tournament, that's where I felt they were at. Even after the win against Wales, I always felt that France were going to be a superior side. Probably not to the magnitude that they won yesterday, but I always thought that France were going to be better.
And I suppose, Niamh, in a way, it's very hard to judge Ireland, because you were making the point even yesterday on TV. It's very hard to judge them based on what we saw last week and equally based on what we saw yesterday. So is it a case of let's wait till after the tournament, we play Italy next weekend, and then let's assess where this Irish team are?
Yeah, I think that's always kind of where I felt it was, you know, before the tournament started. I think, you know, it's very difficult to judge the lack of games. They've, you know, not just with Ireland, but club games too. And it's really hard to try and, like, you know, last week they came out full of energy and enthusiasm because they were probably just so happy to get a game of rugby. But this week, I think, you know, it was always going to be a really tough task. And when I looked back on it this morning, you know, my feelings from yesterday hadn't really changed. I thought, as Fiona said, Ireland were victims of their own downfall in terms of their penalty count. But I also thought that they tried to play too much rugby in their own half. They weren't really smart in how they looked to try and pin France back at any stage. And you know, when you're losing the physical battle and you look up as a forward, I'm sure Fiona will be able to tell you, but and you're going backwards, it's very difficult to try and gain any momentum and put any continuity together. For me, the probably most disappointing fact was their defensive effort. I thought in Wales they were really good and probably just showed that class and golf. But I thought yesterday, you know, they made some tactical and technical errors that, you know, against a side like France, you're going to be punished for.
Fiona, how do they regroup from this? Look, you've obviously been part of teams that have been on the end of some sobering defeats as well. How did you regroup in the aftermath, and what was said to sort of rally the troops again, if you think back to your own career?
Yeah, we were always very realistic after those games of where we were at and what we needed to improve on. You know, there is basic things that they can improve on in a very short time. You know, they have a weak turnaround. But there is, as Niamh said, their tactically and their defence structures off set piece. You know, I was questioning at times their setup and where they were standing. They can fix things like that. When it comes to penalties, like some of the penalties were cheap and just lazy penalties. So that's, you know, a concentration thing and understanding of where you're at. I don't think they're going to be as under as much pressure as they were against France, but Italy are very good. Italy played really well for 50 minutes against England and then the floodgates opened. So the scoreline definitely doesn't reflect the game in the England-Italy game. And then yesterday they had a super win against Scotland. They want to play open, jouer kind of French-style play, but if it gets loose at all, they'll ask questions themselves. So I think the defence is the key area that they need to focus on in the next week. And if they get that and they put Italy under pressure, well, then their attack will come. But all this week has to focus on their defence, their setup off set piece, and then their line speed coming up. And we didn't see any of that yesterday.
How wary should we be, Niamh, about that Italian team? Because as Fiona said, look, you look at that scoreline, I think it was 67-3, something like that against England, and you'd think, all right, OK, Italy there for the taking. But looking at yesterday's result, you would worry that maybe they are a bit better than that. And from an Irish point of view, how significant is that challenge?
Yeah, 100%. I think Fee was right. They actually played quite well against England. A couple of key players got yellow cards crucial times. And, you know, for a team like Italy, when you lose crucial players, it makes a huge difference to them as opposed to England losing them. So, but yesterday, I watched it this morning, obviously missed it yesterday. And I was really impressed. Their broken field running, their ability to offload before and after contact. And, you know, they'll try things. You know, something to Fee last night, she called it perfectly. It's high risk, high reward, and you've got to hope that they will keep trying things against Ireland, and Ireland can pick them off in terms of those defensive mistakes. But yeah, look, it's going to be a big challenge, I think, mentally too. They obviously were incredibly confident going into that French game, and they've got to try and pick themselves back up now this week. Look, I spoke to a couple of them after the game yesterday, and you know, they weren't as good as what we thought against Wales in terms of, you know, you're never that good. And they definitely weren't as poor as what people may think against France yesterday. You know, France are an incredibly good team. So they're in middle ground. It's just at this level, they've got to be consistent at performing all the time. And when you don't, you get punished. And they found out the hard way yesterday.
Niamh, that high risk, high reward, you know, the back three in particular, if you look, Emer Considine looked at so many times yesterday like she really wanted to make something happen with ball in hand. We know about the threat that Bavin Parsons has. Even when you look at them, like as even when you were playing in a lightning quick back three, you want their ball in their hand. And the high risk, high reward, it looks like the three of them want to do that. You know, Lauren Delaney, the same thing. They were up high. They were trying to chase down kicks. Would you like to see them having a bit more of a go there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've got to be smart too. I think yesterday is probably not the game to have a go. I think you've got to pin France. You've got to look to pin France back to corners and try and put pressure on your kick chase. I think that's got that was probably one thing that was missing yesterday, that energy that we saw against Wales. But 100%, I think we didn't look to get the ball wide, but we probably couldn't either because of how well the French defence were putting Ireland under pressure. So, but you've got to be able to mix and match that. So it's got to be a case of a winger coming in, running off a shoulder of a 10 or a 12, try and make space that way. But like yesterday, Ireland couldn't really get any parity at the gain line. So it was just incredibly difficult to try and get any momentum at all.
Fiona, you were saying at the start there that you kind of felt that maybe Ireland are in that third place, that France and England are ahead of the pack. How far ahead of the pack are they, and how can we make up some of that ground?
I think it's quite significant. I think you see all the results that have gone both England and France's way, not just in the last couple of weeks, but in the last couple of years. It comes down to player pool, the numbers playing, the length of time they're playing. You look at that French team yesterday, and all bar one, they'd all played from underage level the whole way up, and the only one who was plucked out of obscurity 4 years ago was Boulard, who was just absolutely an unbelievable find for them. But the depth they have, one in their current squad on the bench, but then all the players coming through, they have a really competitive top 16 tournament, so the players playing competitively week in, week out, and that didn't stop during COVID. There might have been a little break in between, but they've been playing all of the time. So I know people talk about making this current team professional, but I just think that's a kind of short time solution that's not going to actually kind of reduce that gap. We need to look at the structures and pathways, one, to get more girls playing, but also at a higher level consistently. And whether that comes back to AIL, like there's loads of work going on in the clubs. I read in an article that Ballinasloe have 120 girls signed up ready to go and play when COVID finishes and they're able to get back out. But then where do those girls go to next? What's the pathway? When are they going to be stepping up and challenged, and that it's a clear pathway to get to international if they're good enough and if they want to go there, which I don't think we have in Ireland, and we haven't done anything in that area at all.
But so the key with that, Fiona, is
look at those pathways.
Yeah, because it's the visibility. Like, I mean, it's easy to see why Ballinasloe would have 100 kids out to play, because they look at Bavin Parsons and they think, okay, great, there's our local star. But like Dorothy Wall, Emily Lane, Eve Higgins, I know you put up a picture with Eve Higgins from, you know, a couple of years ago, obviously when you guys were Grand Slam champions. This is the first generation of players who were actually inspired by your success. So like you're right, like the visibility works, but obviously all that takes time.
Yeah, and I think it's going to continue to take time. And, you know, the thing is, those other countries are forging ahead. I said it on comms yesterday. France or England during the week had 46 under-20s players in a training camp. You know, we don't even have that structure here to allow those girls going in. So the gap then from underage up to senior is huge. Yes, you have the likes of Bavin Parsons able to step up because she's an athletic freak almost, that she's physically ready to go at that age. But a lot of girls wouldn't be. So we have to provide something and something competitive at underage level in order to help them step up then. So look, I just think as the other countries forge ahead, we look at the global calendar, the World XV that's going to happen. Ireland want to be playing at that top table, but they're going to need these players to be able to keep funneling into the international team at the top level, and something has to be done underneath the national team in order for that to happen.
Yeah, it's a hard circle to kind of square off, Niamh, isn't it? Because like obviously there's a global pandemic on at the moment. The IRFU are laying people off. A cash injection is obviously not what they can do right now. But as Fiona says, it's about more than money. It's about creating the pathways and a structure for this team to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the domestic game is, you know, one area that can doesn't need a huge, huge amount of funding. And you can invest time and good coaches and more competitive teams. I think in that AIL structure, 7 senior teams, probably 3 or 4 are competitive, and the disparity between that and the rest is quite big. So I think it's just going to take time. I think it's and unfortunately, you know, that means then that the national team can't kind of close that gap to the top table. Like, you look at that back line that finished yesterday: Emily Lane, 2 caps, Stacey Flood, 2 caps, Eve Higgin, 2 caps, Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe, 1 cap, Fabian Parson, 5 or 6 caps, Baris Senne, Emer, a handful of caps, really, too. You know, that's a very young international team. They need time to grow and develop, but unfortunately, the only rugby they're getting is growing and develop on the international stage, which means that you're going to have really, really hard days, you know, sprinkled with good ones.
Mm. Last word then, Fiona, just looking ahead to next weekend, this challenge against Italy, can Ireland finish third? And how well received will that be by Adam Griggs if they can secure a third place finish in this tournament?
Yeah, look, I think the interesting thing is where the game is going to be played. There's rumours that it's going to be in Donnybrook, although it's officially down to be over in Italy. So it'll be interesting to see, one, where it's played. But Italy didn't seem to have a problem on the road anyway. A lot will come back to our set piece, which didn't function yesterday, and using our forwards in order to create the space then for the backs out wide. And then, as we said at the start, defensively, they need to shore up those defensive decisions they make. And we saw a huge improvement in the defence last year. They weren't challenged against Wales, so they didn't have to use it. And then yesterday, they were at 6s and 7s defensively. So, look, I believe that they can beat Italy, but it's about closing them down and not letting them play that high-risk game.
All right, well, we shall see. I certainly look forward to it. As always, Niamh Briggs, Fiona Coughlan, thanks so much for joining us here on Sunday Sports.